Future-proof extra.
With Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Science Foundation Ireland.
On News Talk.
When we think of astronomers and their attempts to explore what lies out there beyond Earth, we usually imagine telescopes or large radio dishes with which we peer into the void. But this is not the only way to observe the sky above us. Oddly, you can do so by peering into a giant ice cube. Professor Francis Halzen is a physicist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the principal investigator at the Ice Cube Neutrino Observatory. He joins me now. Francis, this is one of the coolest ideas I've heard in quite some time. So let's start off by answering some of the basics, if you don't mind. What is a neutrino and why are we interested in it?
Well, with apologies for a short physics lecture, a neutrino is one of the particles that makes up the matter in the universe. You know, we all learn that nuclei are made of protons and neutrons, and if you put electrons in combination with them, you get atoms. But that's not the whole story. There is a fourth particle, and that is the neutrino. What a neutrino does is it can change neutrons into protons, and that's called nuclear physics. So neutrinos are kind of the agent that make nuclear physics possible. And so they are actually the most common of the four particles I mentioned and in the universe. And they are quite essential. They made the Big Bang possible. They make the sun shine because the sun is a nuclear reactor. They make stars explode, which makes then produces the material, some of the material that we are made of. So they are an essential particle, but they are often referred to as a ghost particle. They are very difficult to detect. And what we are actually doing is use these particles to look into the universe. They are an astronomical messenger as well, because they are just like the particles of light. At the energies and at a small wavelengths, we will be doing astronomy. They basically are identical to a photon of light, but they don't interact, or practically don't interact, including with your detector. That's why we need this large block of ice to occasionally stop one.
So we'll get to the block of ice in a second. But it's really interesting because I didn't know all that about the neutrino, but I did know that these things don't really interact with matter at all, and they pass through us and the Earth very easily and continue on their merry way. Where do they come from?
It depends. Are you asking where they come from in the universe? Because, you know, we can make them at accelerators as well.
Right.
So, and they are everywhere. Your body emits neutrinos because the salt in your body decays and you emit a quite substantial flux. So they are everywhere.
Wow.
We are particularly interested in neutrinos of extremely high energies, or in terms of astronomy, neutrino beams of extremely short wavelength that let us look into a universe that we have never seen in light. Astronomers have been very successful, you know, in changing the color of the light and looking at the neutrinos with different wavelength, like from radio to infrared light, to visible, and eventually they looked at the universe in very high energy gamma rays. But that game eventually falls short because the universe is filled with microwave photons. And so it becomes opaque to light. And so that's where we use neutrinos, yeah.
So tell me about this method to capture them, because they don't interact with matter, as we know. So how will a block of ice, which is what you're hoping to capture these particles in, how will that help in any way? Why is ice useful?
Well, the neutrinos, the fact that they don't interact is not quite true. They interact very feebly with matter, but that's in most cases totally irrelevant. In our case, for these extremely high-energy neutrinos, or these very short wavelength neutrino beams, we are actually, there is a chance, in fact, about one in a billion, that a neutrino hits a nucleus in the ice, a nucleus of hydrogen or oxygen, and then it makes a nuclear reaction. Remember, that's the role of neutrinos. They make nuclear physics possible. And so the neutrinos themselves, we never see. They have no charge. They leave no trace in the ice. But when they make occasionally a nuclear reaction, that nuclear reaction emits light. And what we do is detect that light. And from the pattern of light we see, we can reconstruct the properties of the neutrino. And even more important, we can trace back where they come from in the universe. And that's why the kilometer cube of ice is a telescope.
And this is the jaw-dropping moment about this experiment, because you have these neutrinos that are hitting these nuclei of hydrogen and oxygen and creating a little bit of light that is detected by sensors. But these sensors are embedded in a kilometer-wide cube of ice. Tell me about how on earth you managed to create something like that. Where do you get a cubic kilometer of ice?
Well, that's the easy part, because East Antarctica is one huge glacier, one huge mass of ice. In some places, it's 5 kilometers thick. And where we are under the geographic South Pole, where the Antarctic ice sheet is 3 kilometers thick. And so we build a detector 1.5 kilometers below the surface. In fact, and at the surface, there is the South Pole Station that had already been operating for several decades by the National Science Foundation. So we actually had the opportunity to find equipment like cranes and vehicles and workshops where we could actually deploy this detector. It's not like being at CERN in Geneva, but it's almost as good.
So how do you get sensors into a cubic kilometer of ice?
Yeah, that was one of the challenges. There were many challenges with this experiment, but that was probably the most difficult one. And so we actually developed this system. You cannot build a drill or buy a drill to do this. We designed and built the system at the University of Wisconsin, and it magically worked. It actually worked very well. And the idea is simply, you don't drill holes to put your equipment deep in the ice. You can imagine kilometer cube below 1.5 kilometer cube. Some of these detectors are deployed under 2.5 kilometers of ice. And what we actually do is melt the ice over a hole that's large enough to sink our sensors into the ice, and then we simply let water refreeze. So we change water into ice over a big enough hole that we can deploy our sensors. And we had to drill 86 of these holes, and that was done by the crew perfectly without any failure. And so by the end of the day, we had put 5,000 plus light sensors in this cubic kilometer of ice. And that's actually a very conventional detection technique. It's what particle physicists refer to as a Cherenkov detector.
So you used hot water jets to drill into the ice, and then you just drop the sensor in and wait for it to freeze, and then you have a kilometer's worth of sensors at dizzying depths underneath the ice.
Yes, that's it. It sounds simple.
No, it doesn't sound simple. It sounds awesome, though. So, well, my question would be, once you have these sensors in place, that's fine. But how, I would have thought that light doesn't travel very well through thick ice. can these detectors really see flashes of neutrinos reacting with the nuclei of hydrogen and oxygen and creating flashes? Have you seen these neutrinos hit the detectors yet?
Yes, we have.
In large
numbers. And so in science, you not only have to be good, you have to be lucky. So the first challenge was the hot water drill. The second challenge was we actually didn't really know what this ice looked like. Did it have the optical quality to do this measurement?
Yeah.
That's basically your question,
yeah.
Right? And so we were lucky. We actually found the most transparent material on Earth. In fact, you cannot make a material this transparent in a lab.
Really?
And yes, and the reason is very simple. This is 60,000, typically 60,000-year-old snow compacted. It's ultra pure, and so the purity, the light travels through ice cube at the bottom of the detector with hundreds of meters without being attenuated. It's so, as I said, that we didn't anticipate, and that's why the experiment actually became relatively easy.
So this is blowing my mind. So underneath the snow in the Antarctic, there is a kilometer-wide field of these sensors in the cleanest, clearest glass-like ice that is detecting particles from outer space.
That's correct.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy cool?
Yeah, and as I said, it's also luck because we had no idea. Nobody knew what the optical quality of the ice would be. And as I said, it was many years just studying the optical properties of the ice because, you know, normally you would take a block of ice and put it in a test beam, right, at CERN and see whether you can use it for particle physics. We had to do all this remotely. And especially glaciologists were very skeptical about our initial results. But now, you know, it's very clear. We understand. We have studied this ice with increasing precision over the years, and we know exactly what its optical qualities are.
So to finish off, Francis, what have we learned from this extraordinary experiment?
Well, after taking 2 years of data in 2013, we finally discovered a flux of neutrinos reaching us from the universe. In fact, we now know that they mostly reach us from other galaxies. Our own galaxy is rather faint in neutrinos, which is an interesting problem by itself.
Mm.
And so now we are basically, we are studying finally, it means we found sources of these neutrinos. They are associated with black holes at the center of the galaxies. And so we slowly begin to learn where neutrinos are produced. But the real goal of this experiment was to find the sources of the cosmic rays. And so we are now identifying for the first time the origin of the extragalactic cosmic rays, which is a problem that has been with us for almost a century, because we knew that in this dark universe, dark to light, that there exist enormous cosmic accelerators that accelerate protons to energies 100 million times the energy of the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva. And we never figured out. We now have the first indications of not only in what sources they are produced, but we actually are finding that they are produced very, very close to the central black holes in galaxies.
Wow. That is very, very cool. And that sounds like something, I just watched Dune last night, it sounds like something that you would absolutely see in a science fiction movie. Francis Hutton from the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the Ice Cube Neutrino Observatory, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae,
proudly supported by Science Foundation Ireland
on News Talk.